Hey, quick thing before we dive in. Are you a professional working in the country music industry? Because it is time to renew your membership to the Academy of Country Music. Not a member yet? All good. Now is the time to join. You can still do it. Academy members are among the most respected leaders in the industry and hold the right to vote on ACM awards. They also receive exclusive benefits, including monthly educational panels and invites to networking events, early access to tickets for Academy events, discounts for ACM partner events, regular industry data and insights, and so much more if you are interested in applying for membership or if you need to renew your membership. Visit acmcountry.com/membership. Again, that's acmcountry.com/membership. There's time to renew, but time is closing because all renewals are due October 15th. So don't delay. Guys, we're talking about the ACMs here, okay? I mean, this isn't like your Joe Schmo, whatever, or, you know, this is the ACMs. It's like, get on board. Come on. So I don't know what else to tell you. It's like, you got to do it. Okay, enough of that. Let's dive in.
The Zach Kuhn Show.
Carter Faith on the podcast this week, episode 83. Love talking with Carter about her career, about her rise as a songwriter. She's still on the rise, actually. She's a student at Belmont. She's a full-time student. She's a full-time artist and songwriter. Very impressive, that Carter Faith. I love it. I love it all. She's got a new EP out, Let Love Be Love, which I really liked. I was actually listening to it again this past weekend, driving out to Pilgrimage, and I was out in the Franklin Farms, and loving this EP. It just feels very kind of home on the range, wide open spaces, puts you somewhere. Really, this EP is going to take you somewhere, and it's going to put you in a good state of mind. But the industry is freaking out about Carter right now. Apple and Spotify are putting her on covers of playlists. A lot of tastemakers are talking about her. She closed the Whiskey Jam Ryman show at the Ryman Auditorium. She closed the show, and I feel like after that, everybody was talking about Carter. She's incredibly busy right now. Her schedule is nuts. She just opened up for the Avett Brothers. We talk all about it. Listen to the episode and then listen to her music, and you're going to get a little bit of perspective behind the album, the music. You know, we talk a little bit about the recording process, but I think you're going to like Carter, and the music's great. You got to check it out. So here we go. Episode 83, Carter Faith. Let's dive in.
You know, I feel like Carter Faith's been like buzzing under the surface for a while now. Like everybody's kind of been talking about Carter Faith, but I feel like the moment that really pushed it over the edge was this Ryman show when you were the last act on Whiskey Jam.
Yes.
At the Ryman. Mm-hmm. And I feel like after that night, everybody was talking about Carter Faith. Is that accurate?
I don't know who's talking about me.
Everyone.
Okay. I trust you. But yeah, that felt like a huge turning point for me. Ward Gunther, who ran it, called me like a week before. Didn't give me a ton of, you know, lead up time to kind of settle in. So I was still buzzing from knowing I was even playing when I got to play. But it was just the craziest night, literally of my life, probably.
Why did you end it? Because, well, look, no offense,
yeah.
Carter.
Oh, Faye. Yeah. No, I agree.
there were some big legends that played that night, some really big deals. And I feel like what kind of made it a moment is you ended it and stole the show in kind of a weird way. You belted these unbelievable vocals. How did you get asked to do it?
So I guess his vision was that he's been, the last 10 years of Whiskey Jam has brought what you know as country music right now. And I was supposed to represent the next 10 years. But I agree. When he told me, I was like, oh, I'll be in the middle somewhere, you know, interlude. Of some sort. I'm sure there'll be other people of my level. And he's like, no, you're going to go last after Randy Travis.
Wait, did he tell you that he told you that you were going to be in the middle, or that's what you were assuming?
No, I assumed that.
You were assuming that you were going to be in the middle. And then when you get there, does he say you're going after Randy Travis last?
Yeah.
he said that when you got there.
Yes. And he didn't tell me who was playing. I asked him 1,050 times because
it was very top secret.
Yes.
Nobody knew who was going
to
play.
But I thought I might be allowed to know. But no, I found out as they were walking in because he was like, you can get there whenever. But of course, I'm a super fan. Of course, I was going to get there right early. When the doors open. Yeah. So I was just watching them walk in, freaking the F out.
Because I think there's this thing where everyone kind of freaks out about the Opry. Yeah. And you kind of think it's like, overrated.
Yeah.
But then when you walk into the Opry House, it kind of hits you with this feeling. And when you're on that stage, it really sort of like, it almost catches you off guard. That was your first time on the Ryman stage, right?
Yeah.
Like, did you feel an energy there? Did it sound really great? Like what, like walk us through being on that. Okay. Do you even remember that moment?
Yes, I do. So my story is I didn't grow up knowing what the Opry was, really. I think I saw an interview with Carly Pierce the other day where she just always, the Opry was something in her life. She just knew, and there were Opry houses. I didn't have that. We just loved country music. I'm from North Carolina. It was not a thing. Like, I didn't know what Nashville was.
What do you mean you didn't know what Nashville was? What
does I literally,
mean?
Like, I
How
didn't.
How do you not know what Nashville is?
When you're from BFE, you do not know what Nashville is.
This is North Carolina. Like, you had never heard of Nashville, or you didn't realize it was like a music city?
I think I heard of Nashville in high school, seriously, when the show came out.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe they're in Hollywood. I don't know. I never thought too much about where these people were or if they were real. So I didn't know what the Opry was, is I guess my point. But my first trip to Nashville, we were trying to figure out what to do. You Google top 10 things to do in Nashville. We went to the Ryman, and you just feel it. I mean, there is something in there. I'm pretty woo-woo, but there's so much energy. I mean, you feel it from your head to your toes, seriously. And I just kind of said I wasn't going to come back until I played.
You weren't going to come back to the Ryman?
Yeah.
Meaning you would not step foot in it.
Yeah.
So if Taylor Swift was doing her, you know, undersell Ryman show. Yeah,
nope, wouldn't be there.
You really? So you didn't. That was so you visited high school, and then the next time you went into the Ryman.
Yes.
Was to play. Thank God it happened, or else you'd still be.
I know, still be waiting. Not.
And then afterwards, did you kind of feel? I'm telling you, Carter, I felt like a shift where like people knew about Carter Faith.
Yeah.
But everybody was talking about Carter Faith the next day. Did you realize that? Did you feel that? Or am I telling you this for the first time?
I think you're telling me this for the first time.
Avery, Avery walked out. The publicist left. But I'm telling you, she'd back me up on this.
Yeah.
It just felt like all of a sudden, everybody was talking about Carter Faith. And I think now there's a lot of buzz on. No pressure, Carter. There's a lot of buzz on Carter Faith. Hey, but tell me about the song Joyride.
Okay. Yes.
Which I love this song.
Thank
I was
you.
Driving out to Pilgrimage this weekend and I was listening to the
it's
EP.
It's a good drive song.
It's a great drive song. And I love this music video too. First
Thank
of all,
you.
This guy in the video is really hot, right? Who's the guy in the music video? Who is this guy?
His name is Sam. He is a musician as well. I didn't hire him. The team hired him. He's a really great actor and obviously model. He's so kind.
Was this your treatment that you put together? When he lifts you up and was this your design, all this music video? Who comes up with this?
So I work with a team. They're called Running Bear Film. It's Alexa and Steven Kiniopoulos, their brother, sister, and they're so amazing. I first saw them because they work with Rustin Kelly and I'm a big fan of his. They hear me. Let me tell them my vision and then put dope ass treatments together.
So what was your vision? Like, what did you say for this music video?
I think I just obviously needed a car because it's Joyride.
By the way, that was a great car.
Thank you.
I'm not a car guy. What car is that? What is that?
That's, I have no idea.
It was blue, right?
Yes.
It was, and it matched your dress.
Yes.
It was a great car.
Thank you.
Hood down. You guys are all over it together.
Yeah.
You were like, I want a car.
Yeah, I wanted it to feel dreamy, but also like nostalgic, but also futuristic, all the things, just like romantic, summery, young, I guess.
I love this video. I love
Thank
watching
you.
It. And where'd you guys shoot it?
We shot it out at, so this guy that they know collects these old vintage cars. We shot it on his property. He's super kind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Wait, and then tell me about this. I want to ask you about, you just played a show in Baltimore.
Yes.
Was this last week?
Last week, yeah.
Opening up for the Avid Brothers,
mm-hmm.
right? How does this come together? Does the agent just pull this in and pull the gig together? How's this gig come together?
Kinda. My mom's from Maryland. If you know anything about Baltimore, Maryland sports, they are diehard. You like
Is that your team?
Oh yeah, that is my team.
Really?
Oh yes, yeah, sadly.
Who would the team be in North Carolina?
We don't have a baseball team.
There's no baseball team.
No, but Panthers, you know, the Hornets.
But the Orioles. So
the Orioles.
Did you go to games growing up?
Yes.
So this is like a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, I got to sing the anthem there in high school.
No way.
Yeah. It's just, I've gotten to play there a few times. Well, not like this, but I've sung the anthem twice.
And are you a big, the Avid brothers are also from North Carolina.
Yes. Yes.
Are they a big, like, I'm from New York and I feel like Billy Joel is kind of
totally
our artist.
Yes.
Are the Avid brothers kind of like, does everyone grow up listening to the Avid brothers in North Carolina?
I mean, I'm from Davidson, but the town over is called Concord. That's literally where they're from and where I went to school. And their kids went to our school. They would come play at our school because kids went there. We all knew them. So from my experiences, yeah, it felt like a huge deal. He gave me a high five when he walked up on the stage, Scott Avid. And I was like, OMG.
He's hot too, actually.
He is hot.
Really hot, right? Yes. Wait, so this was like a full band show. Was this your first show post-COVID, like first full band, like really big show?
Shockingly, no. I did a little EP release party just with friends and family.
Thanks for the invite, Carter.
Just for friends and family.
I'm a friend, I think. Maybe not. I don't know.
So I got to do the whole EP with a band there, which was amazing. But this
what do you do? How many people were at this show?
I have no idea.
Thousands.
I think so. Yeah, they got to watch the game and then come on the field for the music.
So how much prep goes into putting this show together? Were you at SIR with the band for days rehearsing the set, or are you kind of just winging it? Are you that good, Carter? Are you that good? How are you putting this together?
I now kind of know these guys just from practicing and stuff. And we just went to one of their houses, drank wine and practiced and then got there, sound checked. I'm starting to use in-ears, so that's a whole experience.
Is that a transition when you go from the floor monitors to in-ears?
Yes.
What is that? Like, I've never worn in-ears ever. Yeah. What's the difference? What's the transition?
It's everything goes away. I mean, I can't hear the audience. I can hear myself better. It's actually really great. Like, I'm not screaming to hear myself. I'm never like sore after, which is nice, but it's so weird. It's such a weird feeling. It's like being underwater.
Really?
Yeah.
But do you like it better?
Yeah, I do.
Because it's just more, do you feel more in your zone or a little more?
Yes.
In your.
Because I'm super introverted. Like the stage is not where I felt the most comfortable always. I know some people are like, I have to be on stage. It's where I feel like at home. I close my eyes when I sing pretty much the whole time. I'm just like up there and it kind of helps with that a little bit.
Do you like being on the stage now, or is being on the stage like a necessary evil to be able to do the craft? You said you liked it.
I do like it. I think my first love is writing. It's where I feel that's what gives me life, I guess, like what honestly recharges me. Being on stage can be draining, but it's just kind of magical, I think.
It's kind of a magical thing, right?
It really is.
So you had like 30 minutes at this Orioles show. Mm-hmm. I think like sometimes if you're in like taking a shower or something, you'll like do these little antidotes where you'll like be like, what would I say if I was on like a talk show? Or what would you know, like when you have moments yourself, you go through different things.
Yes.
Do you go, when I play the Orioles stadium, I'm going to say this to the crowd. I'm going to did you have some things worked out that you were going to do? And did you say like, hey, you people in the back, I see you guys. Like, did you kind of work out some of these things?
My publicist would hate this, but I did not.
Oh my God.
I was
Carter.
Like, I'm thinking about it. I promise. But
you kind of just winged it. You just winged it.
Yeah, and I think it went really well. I felt so good about it. I felt really in the zone, like connecting with the people, my Maryland people. But I think it's one of those 10,000 hours things. These famous people get on stage, know exactly what to say. Like they're talking to a room full of people. I'm not there, but it was a weird show. Cause I was like, I'm here with all these people. It just felt really magical, I guess.
Wow. Possibly because we had in-ears in also, which
possibly
is changing the game.
It is changing the game.
It's changing the feeling of the show. We're underwater now. Seriously, I love this EP.
Thank you.
I seriously, I was listening to it both ways back from pilgrimage, because I was just like, I'm going out to pilgrimage. It just felt like it was capturing something that I was doing in the moment. I was driving out into the country.
I love that.
I mean, Joyride, I really like. To me, Joyride is just, it's a groove. It's a vibe. Mm-hmm. It's very laid back. Did you come into this with the title Joyride? And how do you write this? How's this come together?
That song, I had the title and that's it.
You were just like, let's joyride. Yeah. That's a cool word. It's a state of mind. It's an activity.
Yes.
So you bring that in.
Yeah.
And is that enough to get started?
With me and Margaret Valentine and Jen Stiegel, we've been writing. They're like the first people I ever wrote with here. They're my soul sisters. But I brought that idea in and Jen had the weirdest track ever. And somehow it turned into Joyride for what it is. I don't know. That's why I love co-writing, because you bring something, someone else is bringing something in. You're all bringing what you're carrying into the room. And for some reason, it creates the most magical combination.
So you bring in this title, Joyride, and your co-writer had a mm-hmm. track that they had made.
Yeah.
That kind of had that spaciness, that good feeling. And so you say Joyride, and is she already going to show the track, or does the title Joyride inspire her to bring up that track and say, this feels like a joyride. Yeah. Why don't we work around this?
I would love to put the track online because it's hilarious how different it is truly from what we ended up writing. But it sparked that. I think with the three of us, we all just bring our shit in there and see how it fits, I guess. I know it's different for other writes, but it was just such a weird write. I don't even know how it happened. We've all talked about it. It's crazy.
Why did you decide that was going to be the opening track of the EP? Was that a conversation? Or did you always know that was going to be the way to kick it off?
I usually have a pretty specific vision for stuff, and it's just a matter of getting my team to be on board.
Is that a struggle, Carter Faith?
Not for me.
Are people starting to trust you more? Have they now? They're starting to trust you.
I think the skill is getting people to think it's their idea.
How do you do that? That's always everyone always says that, but I don't know how you pull that off.
You say it over and over and over again.
But I don't, and that, and then
it's a mastery.
You say what? That it should be the first song of the title, and then magically they think that was their idea.
I think I was just like, I just loved this song from the first work tape, and then my producer worked on it a little bit. They're coming around, you know, and then we go into the studio, and they're like, yeah, this is amazing. Like, they loved it too. And I always knew it would be amazing.
And you got to lead with a strong song.
You have to, yeah.
But I think there's a lot of strong songs on this record. I think Buzzkill, which is track number two, mm-hmm. does, I don't know, that feels like a second song. It feels like Joyride kind of pulls you in. Mm-hmm. And then Buzzkill is a little more up-tempo. You can get the band rocking a little bit. I love that hook too. After you say Buzzkill, there's a little instrumental hook in there, right?
Yes.
Was that always in? Because that hook is not identical to the melody Mm-mm. of the song. So does someone say, hey, we should put a hook here and come up with a little variation of it? How's that work?
That is all my producer, Ben West. He is, I don't even know what planet he's from, but he does that. I mean, he can take one of my work tapes. He lives in Michigan full time. And just make these demos and then comes down and the band knows what to do. It's actually pretty insane. I got to watch it all, which was really cool, but I have no freaking idea how he came up with those hooks, like the melodic hooks. But yeah, he's amazing.
Really great. And you recorded this at Blackbird, right?
Yes.
Now that's a massive room,
insane,
right? And you're a pretty small person.
Yeah.
Was that the first time you'd done like a really big kind of Nashville recording session?
Some acoustic recordings, but nothing like that. It was insane.
So who comes in? Like, did they bring a ton of gear and cartage, or was it more low key than that? Or did they bring who comes in there? What did they bring into that space? What do they pull out?
So we had a drummer. He brings all his options. I didn't even know they were options.
Like, what are options? What do you mean?
Like full kit and then full drum kit and then different options for each of the drums,
like
I guess.
Other stuff. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Like a whole bus of drums he brought.
He brought a bus of drums.
Yeah. I think I think this is normal now. I was shocked when I saw it, but I'm pretty sure
it probably is normal.
It has to be.
Define it. Like, what's a, like a small bus or like?
Like a little sprinter van.
He brought a sprinter
yeah.
van of like snare drums yes. and toms and like,
yeah,
and cymbals.
Yep.
So he, okay. So drummer shows up with a bus, yes. sets the bar pretty high.
Yeah.
And then the guitar, who played guitar on these records? Do you remember?
Ilya.
Oh my God.
He's amazing.
And does he show up with a lot of gear or does he kind of wing it and just bring whatever he makes it work?
I mean, I know he played banjo on some stuff because I was like, please play banjo here. And he would.
So he's got to show up with a banjo too.
He brings all the stuff. They all brought, we had steel player, electric guitar, obviously bass. They all bring, I'm pretty sure, every option they have. Or they obviously listen to the stuff beforehand probably, but I mean, they bring it all.
And who's doing most of the coaching? Is it Ben or are you telling people what to do? Like if someone plays yeah. something you don't like, are you calling them out on it? Are you saying, stop messing around, bro. It's like, I don't know what you're doing, but yeah. play it right. Stop playing the wrong notes. Are you the one calling these shots?
It's pretty amazing if you're in there watching a producer work. I'm not a producer, obviously. I know like three chords, don't even know what they're called on the guitar, but Ben West and then Dave Klaus together. I mean, they know exactly what they're going to tell them when they're done with the pass. They know exactly where it is. The band can hear them and know exactly where to play it. I think I would offer, like, I wish this vibe was a little different here. And I, like, tried to give some critiques. But again, they know what they're doing. Like, I was so happy with the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And then, do they go, they do their pass. Mm-hmm. And then are you singing vocals as they're recording? Or do you get the tracks and then do you go in again and sing vocals? How's that work?
Yeah. So the night before I went to Ben's house, we did some vocal tracks so that they could have them. And then they do the recording the next day. And then the day after that, I went in and did all my vocals at Ben's house. I did some background vocals to map out for the singers that I was going to have do background vocals. I did these vocals in one day. At his house.
So was the whole EP
day.
Just recording 2 days? Yeah.
2 days. And then Sean McConnell and Jen Siegel actually helped produce Lasso. And Sean did Pipe Dream. So I did that at his house.
I love that song, Lasso. And actually, you can tell that was maybe produced by someone else. Yeah. It's a little spacier. There's kind of some synths on it. There's some weird sounds on it. That song really stands out in a really cool way. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a moment, I think, in the EP that you remember. Wait, so how do you team up with these guys? Who does Altadena pull these producers together? How did you find these guys to do your record?
Yeah, Ben's with Altadena. That's how I know him. I wrote with him first a few songs and just really hit it off. And then Sean, I wrote with a lot and hit it off. He wrote Pipe Dream with me, and I really wanted to have him produce it. And then the other writer we wrote it with, Ashley Ray, I had her sing background vocals. I just wanted it to be like...
It's a family thing.
Yeah, we wrote it together. Why shouldn't they get to be a part of it? So you just meet them writing your random happenstance.
A quick reminder before we dive back in. If you are a professional working in the country music industry, it is time. The time is now. To renew your membership to the Academy of Country Music. If you're not a member yet, that's okay. There's still time to join. Academy members are among the most respected leaders in the industry and hold the right to vote on ACM awards. They also receive exclusive benefits, including monthly educational panels and invites to networking events, early access to tickets for Academy events, discounts for ACM partner events, regular industry data and insights, and so much more. If you're interested in applying for membership or if you need to renew your membership, visit acmcountry.com/membership. Again, that's acmcountry.com/membership. All applications and renewals are due by October 15th, so don't delay. You got time? Not that much time. You got like a month. ACMs, come on, get involved. It's a no-brainer. Back to the episode. Here we go.
Wait, so take me back for a second. I want to go back again for a moment. We talked about this a little bit, but so did you come to the idea of doing music? Did you come to it like relatively late in life compared to maybe
yes.
some other? So when did you pick up a guitar and start playing guitar?
I picked up a guitar It's not a huge memory, honestly, of mine, because I still don't really know how to play very well. But I saw Taylor Swift. I mean, to be completely honest, we all did. I remember seeing Teardrops in My Guitar video on the CMT Countdown Sunday morning. Like, my dad was like, come watch this girl. I always loved music. I would sing all the time, literally 24/7. But I didn't care that much. Like, it wasn't something I thought was kind of ever in reach, I guess.
If that makes any sense. It just seemed too big. You were like, I'll never be Taylor Swift.
Yeah, my family's not creative. They appreciate art, and obviously we all love music, but no one was like, you should do this, handing me a guitar. But eventually I was like, I love Taylor Swift. And we all take piano lessons as kids. So I did that.
Yeah.
Hated it. I hate people telling me what to do. And practicing. I hate practicing. So
horrible.
It's terrible. I hate playing stupid things.
You had to
things.
Come to it on your own, right? You,
for sure.
So wait,
yes.
So you're taking piano lessons,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, this sucks.
This sucks so bad. I want to be Taylor Swift and play guitar.
She plays guitar. She doesn't play piano. Piano's for losers.
Teardrops on My Guitar, not my piano.
Thank you for clarifying that, Carter. Yes. So wait, so then did you kind of like a musical lull, and were you like not?
Yeah. I mean, I took a few guitar lessons, didn't pick up much from them
because
I don't like, again, adults telling me what to do. And then I did really love it. I loved playing covers. There's one bar in my hometown. It's also a coffee shop. It's also a restaurant. I would go play.
It's a small town. They've got to make use of what they have.
Yes.
Everything has a,
So I'd go play cover shows for like 3 or 4 hours.
So that's where you're kind of getting your chops up and you're kind of learning.
Yeah.
How old are you when you're doing this?
15 probably.
Okay. So you're 15, you're playing, but did you think that you were going to do this professionally, or it was kind of just like a thing to do on the weekends?
I think it was just a thing to do on the weekends. The stage is not where I felt comfortable. I was kind of dreading every time I would play.
So why'd you do it?
My parents knew I was good at this, I think. And
but
so,
you don't like being told what to do.
But your parent, you listen to your parents sometimes. And
so they,
also,
they would push you to do this?
Yeah, I think, because I did love it. I would go up to my room after school, play guitar, and sing for hours. And I loved it. It's my favorite thing in the world. And so I think they wanted me to do it, and they tried to let me come to it on my own. I think I had a love-hate relationship with it because I was so nervous. And then eventually I wrote my first song. I was just so sad about some stupid boy, of course, and couldn't find a song to sing to make me feel better. I started writing.
You were driven to write a song.
Yes.
You had to, so the parents are pushing you to play in the bar, but they're not pushing you to write a song.
Yeah.
So you, okay, this heartbreak with a boy, you write a song,
mm-hmm.
and then you write another one. And
so
then
I wouldn't tell anyone I wrote it. I played it at my show to see what people
you
thought
slipped
of
it. In
yeah.
Were you like, this is an original, or were
no.
you like, you just go into it?
I would just,
nobody's
yeah.
even paying attention
nope,
anyway.
Pretty it's, much. There's two people in there. So.
Yeah. So you, okay.
Which is nice. Cause I got to just play it and people liked it. I really applied to Beaumont with like the three songs I'd written ever. It wasn't something I was like, oh, I love this, I'm gonna do it every day.
So do you audition to get into Beaumont? How do you get into Beaumont?
For the songwriting program, you send songs in, video submission.
So you had written these three songs? And
yeah.
That
and
was all you
three.
Had.
You needed three, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So you record yourself playing these three songs, mm-hmm. and you send them in.
Yeah.
And that was it?
In. Yeah.
So have you had no formal music training?
Mm-mm.
But was the goal to become a country artist, or was it just like music school sounds better than business school? Was it that
all
easy?
All of it, you know.
It was all, look, I studied guitar performance because I thought going to anywhere else sound horrible. So that was my path.
Yes.
So you're like, so you're like, I'm going to go become a songwriter at Beaumont.
Yeah. We mentioned I went to Nashville on a trip with my family to see Beaumont, and we went to the listening room, of course. I was like, oh my God, you can do this like as a job. People do this as a job and live here, and like, it's awesome. And everyone loves music here. It's not weird. I kind of fell in love with it. I don't think I knew it at the time. I didn't apply to anywhere else, though. It was like a self-sabotage in a good way, I think. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to try that hard in school anymore because I'm going to go write songs at school. Like, I'm going to go to songwriting college.
But you'd only written three at that point.
Yeah.
You didn't write that many.
I know. Well, I came here and people would be like, been dreaming of this since I was little. And I was like, how did you guys find out about it though? Like,
do you feel do you feel a little guilty when,
I think you're
like a natural, Carter. I think you were born to be an artist. You have found your calling.
Thank you.
There are people that are working, you know, not harder, but really hard for longer. And I don't think they're getting their shot, probably because they're not very good.
To that point, I've been struggling with, I guess, what they call imposter syndrome so much lately. I'm working my ass off right now. I'm doing school and
You're still in school?
Yeah, I graduate in December.
Why don't you drop out?
I'm so close. That's
Is that it? Are the parents telling you to stay in?
Yes, they are the most supportive parents, but they're like, we'll pay your rent if you finish school.
If you finish, you've got to.
Yeah, I can't which I'm okay with that.
I can't believe you haven't dropped out, Carter.
I know.
What are you taking right now? Anything, anything music related?
Contract law.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a test tomorrow in classical history. So.
Oh, I remember taking that class actually.
I'm nervous.
That's a hard class.
It is hard.
It's all, are you doing like going through the history of classical
music, right? And we'll be, I think I'm in class with freshmen and they are so into it.
Does anyone, so these freshmen, right? They're probably all trying to be songwriters, right? Or artists.
So I think I'm in a class of classical music majors because they are into this stuff.
Who are the other people? But you're kind of doing it. Like, I feel like you're out in the world. You're in the real world, but you're with a bunch of freshmen.
Yeah.
Do you feel kind of superior in this class? Like, do you feel like I'm the coolest person here in the class? Yeah. Or do you think they think that? Are they like, oh my God, Carter Faith, publishing deal, plays the Ryman, you know, cover of playlists on Spotify and Apple. Like what is she doing here? I can't believe she hasn't dropped out already.
I will tell you, Nashville and Belmont are two different worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they care what I'm doing with my life.
I disagree, Carter. I think there are some kids that are writing home saying, Carter Faith is in my class, mom and dad.
I wish they would tell me because that'd be so dope.
So how do you team up with the team at Altadena? How because you signed with them last year.
Uh-huh.
Right? How'd that happen?
So I played one of the writers' rounds at Belmont, where you have to audition to get in, and then...
Is that Bear House, or what is that? Is that something
else? It was the ASCAP Writers' Round.
The ASCAP, yes. Which is kind of a big deal, right?
I thought it was. Yeah, I played it.
It's kind of a big deal.
I got in freshman year playing it, which I thought was crazy. And of course, Lauren Weintraub won.
Oh, Lauren Weintraub. Is there a rivalry between you two?
No,
can we start one? Can we start a little bit of a drama here?
I was like mesmerized by her while I was on stage.
Yeah.
Because she's saying, I mean, she's, if you know who she is.
She dropped out of college.
She did.
I don't know.
Could have followed her.
No, you got to stay in. But okay, wait, so you played that round.
I played it and they judged it. Altadena was judging it. So I won. And they were like, you won, but we also want to have a meeting with you and think you're special. And it's kind of.
Wow. Who was judging it?
Daniel Lee and Julia Keefe.
Oh, we love Julia. See you and wait, so who won? You won or Lauren?
I won.
You won over Lauren.
Lauren won the first year.
She won the first. Got it. Okay.
Yes.
So you win and they say, we want to have a meeting with you.
Yeah.
Which they probably don't do very often. They probably
I don't think so.
And so you go in and did that kind of feel, did it just kind of feel right?
It did. I think I think becoming confident in your writing and who you are as a person, which probably more people relate to, is a really hard thing. And they've done that for me. And I don't know why I knew that would happen, but you just kind of, again, I'm pretty woo-woo. I have a lot of feelings. it just felt right. I had a meeting with them. I liked them. Didn't feel weird. They liked my songs, the songs that I thought were weird.
At this point, there were four songs in the catalog. There was another song that was written. Hey, what is Pound It Out Loud? Is that under Altadena or what is that?
Yeah, so Pound It Out Loud is Margaret Valentine's company. I write with her and she's my manager. she came to town after a music hiatus to be a mom and have a normal life and wanted to support a young artist. And so we met and through writing, and she was like, I really want to start something with you. So she became my manager. She's the best in the whole world. She's a baller and she's awesome.
And she's a songwriter also.
Yeah, she wrote Joyride with me and I Just Want to Dance.
There's a couple songwriters who are also managers in town. Mm-hmm. I think Asher Bowers is the other one that comes to mind with Jimmy Allen and yeah. Matt Still. It's not a lot though.
Not a lot. I'm sure people have their feelings about it. Yeah, I don't really give a fuck, but
what do you I mean, well, I think you want a real creative person on your yes. team like that.
Yeah.
Who's going to know, right? Is that an advantage? Do they bring that element to it?
I mean, yeah, she knows. Well, she knows me in and out too. So she knows, which is helpful when you're writing. And I
you really open up in the writer's room.
Yes, I know her so well. Yeah. I do best writing when I have a pretty full idea and someone can help me edit it. That's how I write most of my own songs. If I'm writing for someone else, of course, you follow their lead a little bit, but she's really amazing at that. And then she's such a badass manager. I mean, she's from New York, if that says anything.
New Yorkers, I can't take them.
She's a go-getter, if you know.
She's but she lives down here?
She does, yeah.
She lives down here. I'm a New Yorker. I like to think New Yorkers have something going for them.
Some swagger.
Seriously, I think everybody's talking about this EP. I think everybody's talking about Carter. You know people are talking about Carter Faith because you're getting on covers of some major playlists.
Crazy.
At Apple and Spotify, right? Fresh Finds, yes. Today's Country.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, and you still haven't crazy. Dropped out?
I'm so close though.
You're December? December. Mm-hmm. What is your major?
Songwriting and music business.
And do you think, are you learning in the songwriting classes, do you learn anything? Okay, in the songwriting classes, there's got to be kids in that class that look at you and are so jealous of your publishing deal, yeah. of your success. Come on, they've got to be. And do you ever do they, how does this work? Like, what is a songwriting class? Like what are you learning yeah.
In one in a year, just because my schedule hasn't worked out that way yet. I have one this semester, but I haven't had one for a year. So
you probably know more than the professor, like who's teaching these songwriting classes.
So my favorite teacher at Belmont, his name's Drew Ramsey.
Yeah.
And he has Grammys. I mean,
oh, he's a big deal.
Yeah. These professors are amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know how you teach songwriting. I don't even know if they know, but we write, they critique our songs. We listen to historical songs that are just huge and learn about why they were so big, you know? I think it's helped me know more about songwriting. Cause before, obviously I'd written very little songs and
three songs. How many are you in now? Five.
Like hundreds.
Hundreds of songs. Hundreds. I mean, that's what you have to do.
Totally.
Hundreds. But yeah.
I think it just helped me appreciate it more because I, like you said, like I came into this kind of naturally, like very organically. So it helped me want to keep this as something I love and obviously a hobby in some way, but also learn why it's people love music more than anything. And I wanted to be really good at it.
Are you learning at where I went to school? At Berkeley in Boston, we were learning a lot of contemporary music and they kind of write country off. They don't really teach anything about it. But in Belmont, it feels like they would take it a little more seriously because we're in country music mm-hmm. US. Like, true. Are you looking at country songs or just general pop hits? Like, what kind of songs are you looking at?
Usually not country, to be honest. I think the trend right now is like Lanny and Julia Michaels is what a lot of people.
That's what people are.
The vibe is.
Dissecting for at Belmont. Sure. And are you like, come on, let's, come on. I think, you know, let's look at some country writers. But maybe it's different. Maybe it's good to get the perspective.
I think it totally is. Yeah.
Okay. I'm into this. Carter Faith. Okay. We're running out of time here. Wait, I've got some rapid fire questions right here.
Love
okay.
It. Yes.
First of all, when you blow up. Who's the first person you're going to buy a house for, non-family member?
Oh, I would love for my dog to have a palace of his own.
That is a bullshit answer. Are you kidding me? That is, I cannot accept that.
Probably my best friend, Sophie, so she can come visit me whenever I want her to.
In Nashville? You'd buy her house in Nashville?
In Nashville, right next to me.
Is this a lifelong best friend, Sophie?
Since third grade, yeah.
And what is Sophie music also or no?
Nope.
But she loves this. She's going to get a house.
But she's my little biggest fan, yeah.
She's going to get a house out of this, Sophie.
Yes, of course.
I love this. hey, what pisses you off about the industry? Now you've been in the industry for a little bit. What pisses you off about the music industry?
It pisses me off when people think they deserve to be celebrated when they're like doing things for women in country, when it should
really?
Just, yeah.
That, why does that piss you off?
Because you're just being a normal person with, it's like, know, humane views.
Yeah.
It's kind of bullshit.
That is bullshit. Okay. What's the best way to slide to your DM?
Don't.
Really, Carter?
Yeah.
What if someone great wanted to slide your DMs? You're shooting everyone down?
If Eric Church slid into my DMs, it doesn't matter how he does it.
There's got to be someone else, right?
It's really him for me.
It's really. So if you're a fan of Carter Faith and you want to slide into, you know,
I do answer all my DMs.
Do you?
I really do.
Why? Like, why? Like what? What's the min? Why do you do that?
Because I think there's so many people. Why are you reaching out to me? I must have made an impact.
So why are you saying don't? Why are you saying to not slide?
The creepy ones.
You're not responding to the creepy ones.
I'm not responding to the creepy
Hey,
ones.
I know someone, I don't really want to say who, but I'm friendly with someone who DM'd an A-list, really famous country star,
yeah.
Like top of the top of the line.
Okay.
And now they're dating from a DM.
No way.
I swear.
No way.
Could that ever happen to Carter Faith?
I have a boyfriend, but...
It's too late.
Friendships.
It's too late for that to happen.
Yeah.
Friendships. Could there be a friendship
for sure
that comes out of a DM?
For sure.
Maybe you shouldn't shoot them down. I don't know. You're scaring people off. Nobody's going to slide into a DM now. How'd you meet your boyfriend? So that's you personal?
Party.
At a party.
Yeah, college party. College,
and did he come up to you or?
Yeah. And I was like, what? What do you want?
You're
if you
like,
know
don't,
me, that's pretty
don't
obvious.
Don't come up to me. Don't
like,
slide into my DMs. Don't talk to me.
I was like taking a moment in the corner by myself because I was like, peopled out, I guess. And he was like, please leave me alone.
Please leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
But he was persistent.
Yeah. I was kind of drunk. Don't totally remember what we talked about, but we stood there for a while.
and now they're together years later. So
yes,
it worked out.
For sure.
So I think if you want to take a shot at friendship with Carter Faith, I think you should give your best shot to slide your DMs.
Should.
We have, I don't know what you're going to say, but give it a shot. Okay. Now that you've had a little bit of success mm-hmm. in the music industry, there's a lot more to come, but a little bit of success. Does it feel like you thought it would? Do you feel like you're constantly chasing a moving carrot, or do you feel when you hit certain targets, does it feel really satisfying?
Yes. I love celebrating things. I love celebrating little things all the time. So I'm really sure to do that, but I also am, I'm already thinking about the next project, you know, like I'm already moving on, I guess.
What's the next project?
I don't know yet.
Joyride's in the dust. Okay. We're going to joyride the hell out of here. What is, but you're working on the next, is the next album going to add to the EP, or is the EP going to live as a set of songs you're going
to
put out?
To be completely honest, I don't know. I write every day, but I really love this project I just put out and I want it to have its full life. So I don't know. Not sure yet.
To be determined, when you want to write like a love song, like just a love ballad, who are you going to call? Like if you have a hook for a love song, you're like, I need to write with this person. Do you have that person? Is that too vague of a question?
No, or, I always call Jen and Margaret.
Those are your people.
Those are my people.
Those are
sure.
your people.
Yes, my homies.
Carter Faith, the new EP, Let Love Be Love, mm-hmm. out now. Watch the music video for Joyride. The guy in it's really hot. How's your boyfriend feel about this guy? He can't watch it. Has he seen it?
He watched it once and he's like, that's good enough for me.
He cannot watch this.
No.
This anymore. Could we have casted him as the part in
he's
in
actually
video?
In one of my videos.
Which video is he in?
Leaving Tennessee.
Yeah, okay. So he calm down.
He
boyfriend.
Got his, he got
you've,
his, time.
You've got your moment.
Yes.
Plenty of time.
Yes.
In the video. The new EP, Let Love Be Love, the music video for Joyride. We didn't even talk about Cowboys and Dreamers, which I think might be my favorite song on the EP.
There might be a video coming soon.
There might be a video. Is there going to be
Maybe.
A hot guy in that video? A hot cowboy?
No, this one's just me.
This one's just you.
Yeah, should be enough.
Might be all you need. you wrote that with Steve Moakler, right?
Yeah, I did. unbelievable.
I love Steve. That kind of sounds like a Steve Moakler song.
For sure.
It kind of has a, it's got a Steve Moakler-ness to it.
Totally.
So everyone has to go listen to the EP. You have to watch the videos. And by the way, if you look online, if you look at Carter's performance at Whiskey Jam, you can see, there's a video of it. So you can go watch it where she's playing the Ryman for the first time. It's her second time in the Ryman ever.
Yes.
And it's there. And so everyone has to go watch it. What have we left out? What's been on set? Have we not covered anything here?
I don't know. You're great.
You're great.
We live in the same building.
We live in the same building, actually. And we realized this recently and we ran to the elevator.
Yes.
It's a good building. We're in like a kind of like a studio room here.
Yeah.
What? Oh, we're not gonna say where in the building.
Yeah. Where this is the address.
Great building. What, Avery, what have we left out here? Have we covered it all?
Have we?
Yes.
Now, did we get enough content photo wise?
Yes.
We got enough.
Yes.
Okay.
You're a good interviewer.
Carter, thanks for taking the time this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Look, there were a million places you could have been. Here we are on the show.
This is the only place I wanted to be.
Seriously, thank you. Great talking. New music's coming out soon. Be on the lookout, right?
Soon-ish, probably.
And everyone, what's the best way to get in touch? Or like socials, where should people follow you or keep up?
Yeah, if you just search Carter Faith, I'll come up. But everywhere, it's just my name.
Carter Faith.
Awesome.
There you have it. Carter, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for coming
on. Thank you so much.
There you have it. Carter Faith on the podcast. Love Carter, very laid back. Why soul? Kind of a why soul, Carter. You get that feeling. Let Love Be Love. Her new EP is out now. The single Joyride is a must listen. And the music video too. The guy's pretty hot in it. And Carter looks great also. Everyone looks very good in this music video. I would check it out. And you know, my favorite song is Cowboys and Dreamers. Like I saw on the podcast, and it's true. Check that one out also. Really great song. Buzzkill's a great song too. There's a lot of great songs on this EP. You gotta check it out. Let Love Be Love, Carter Faith. I love Carter. I'm a big fan. Big fan. The Zach Kuhn Show is mixed by Sam Heyman, and our theme music is by Justin Johnson. If you want more content from us, you can subscribe to our newsletter at NashvilleBriefing.com, or you can follow us on socials. Everything at Nashville Briefing. The Zach Kuhn Show is part of the American Songwriter Podcast Network. Great network. We're proud to be part of it. And what else can I tell you? By the way, ACMs, don't forget. Get that registration. It's not too late. Time's running out, but you can get it done. It's not too late. And that's it. Carter Faith. I love it. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you next time. Bye.